Blog Talk Radio.
Faces of Success Radio. Your girl, Miss Diamond.
Hey, yo, world.
You've now tuned in to Miss Diamond on Interviews with the Stars.
Young world.
Yo, you just tuned in to your girl, Miss Diamond. Hey, young world. It's your girl, Miss Diamond. Interviews with the Stars. You've now tuned in. Let's go. You've now tuned in to Miss Diamond on Interviews with the Stars. Yo, you just tuned in to your girl, Miss Diamond. Hey, young world. It's your girl, Miss Diamond. Interviews with the Stars. You've now tuned in. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? And I want to say welcome to the show today. Of course, I am your host, Miss Diamond, and you have just tuned in to Interviews with the Stars. And I just want to thank everybody for tuning in right here on Face of Success Radio each and every week, okay? So today, of course, I got some music for you. I have a very, very interesting and hot topic coming up next hour. So if you want to chat with me, make sure you hit me up on Facebook. My name is Miss Diamond Hot Topics. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. That is Miss Diamond Hot Topics. I love to chat with you. I love to see exactly what's going on with you today. So hit me up right here. So coming up next hour, I have Mr. Larry Cunningham of the legendary group The Floaters. Oh, he's definitely going to take us back, and I'm going to take us back with some of his music as well. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show today.
back and some neck up on it. While I stand up in the background and check up on it.
Who requested that song. So, of course, I'm going to play it for you. I got you. So, thank you all for tuning in. Today's hot topic, we're going to talk about dating, okay? Well, you know, falling in love, you know, or are you failing at love, all right? So, today I'm going to give you a few reasons on why you're still single, okay? Well, first of all, rules were made to be broken. From my experience, one of the greatest challenges for those who are seeking to attract a mate stems from having a conflicting rule or having conflicting rules more than one. Part of them wants love, but the other part doesn't want to get hurt. Part of them wants to be accepted, but the other part wants it in a certain package. Part of them wants a relationship, but the other part wants freedom. I mean, can you see why attracting a life partner can be so challenging? When you break down the parts, do your rules get in the way? Really, what's your thought? Of course, if you want to chime in on this topic, you can hit me up on Facebook, which is Ms. Diamond Hot Topics. You can also hit me up on the Faces of Success radio page as well. And I'd love to chat with you about it. But so many people let fear get them from having a great relationship. Both women and men do it. But as I work exclusively with, you know, some women, I'm familiar with some common conflict rules. And here are, you know, a few examples that were given to me, okay? So I've heard, I want a relationship, but I hate dating. Well, how else can you create a relationship? You have to date to find love. I mean, really, women usually say this out of frustration when dating, but the fear she'll never forget from a date she's had or, you know, an experience she's had when she went out on a date with someone. But exactly how do you expect to get to the finish line if you don't start? So you have to start with a date. I mean, it's perfect. It makes perfect sense, really. I've heard, I want a good guy, but I refuse to date anyone who is short, fat, balding, got a job that pays less than mine, or even undereducated. This one really gets me. Because understand that good guys come in all shapes, sizes, educational levels, and income brackets. There are some guys who are tall, lean, and educated, but there are also some great, shorter, heavier guys who may only have a high school diploma. One of them may be the love of your life. So don't discount. I'm not saying you have to lower your standards, but I'm just saying, you know, take a look at what you have first. You know, look at the pros and cons about that person first before you just dismiss them. Now, if they're living at home with mom and they're getting a food stamp card and they're charging their mom for the food stamp card but living there rent-free, then that's somebody you might want to think twice about. It is what it is. So, also I've heard women say, I want a guy who commits to me right away, but he's not going to have sex until after he's mine. Well, ladies, I'm here to tell you that 98% of guys commit only after sex. I mean, that's just how it is. Sex is very important to men, and pretty much they won't commit to anyone who isn't sexual. Now, trust me, I'm not saying you have to sleep right away or you have to sleep with him before you decide that that is the man for you or to even get him to commit. But in general, a lot of men, because I know a lot of fellas, a lot of men want to know that you'll give them sex even after the commitment. I mean, if it's the first night and you guys are on the first date and you have sex with him and he won't commit, then maybe that's something you should think twice about. I'm just saying. A lot of women have a 90-day rule. You know, I won't sleep with you for 90 days. Honey, some of us have a longer rule. It is what it is. And one more example I've been given. I want love, but he's got to come find me. I'm sick of putting myself out there, okay? And that's by Judy Hines. Shout out to Julie. Okay, so he can't find you if you're hiding out. I mean, if you never go anywhere, you don't try going out today, you don't ask your friends if they know anybody they can hook you up with, you're invisible to men. While you don't like to compare finding love to a job interview, it's very similar. You don't have to apply yourself, but, hey, how are they going to know that you're there? I mean, really, I'm just saying, here's what to do. Examine your thoughts about dating and find a partner. Are they consistent? That is so important. Or are they conflicting? I mean, if they're not in alignment, then decide which side is more like you and decide, let me ask myself, what can I do to bring the other side of the rule into balance? For example, if you want love but hate dating and the love part prevails, figure out what you hate about dating and see what you can do to turn that around. If you feel that, you know, going online to date is not for you, then take yourself offline for a while and focus on getting out the house and meeting people and hooking up with some circles or something. You know, go to church or go to a bowling alley, you know, even a bar. It just depends on where you go. But no man can find you if you're hiding, you're in the house. You know, you never do anything. You're only sitting behind your computer. Trust me, ain't no love behind the computer only, okay? But I just want to tell you guys, have fun, you know, doing it. You know, do what you like to do and see if you can find others who like to do what you like to do anyway, all right? Well, you can't find a man at home, so if you want to find a man, ladies. You got to get out. Fellas, there's no ladies at home behind the computer all the time, sitting back, chilling. So, fellas, get up, get out, and go out, and go out, and go out until you find that person that you want to kick it with. It is what it is. Be sociable. Laughter is good for the soul. Trust me, I laugh all the time. All right? So I'll be back with more dating and relationship tips right here on Interviews with the Stars. Don't forget, next hour I have Mr. Larry Cunningham of the Floaters. Can't miss that one, okay? So stay tuned right here on Interviews with the Stars.
To the world, you know that I'm that kind of girl who loves her diamonds in my pearls. So you told me to jet set away in London. The sips of tea surprised me with gifts from Tiffany. Oh, I love the way we live, and boy, but my daddy say you don't need that boy, so let's run. Feeling you give it is like you got the key to my heart. If we'll ever touch and kiss, never knew a feeling like this. Pure bliss, pure bliss. Nobody can tear us apart. Baby, it's as good as it gets. Loving you will never be hard.
When the pilot closed the door, said it's time for liftoff. You said, what'd you choose me for? But don't ever wonder, 'cause you deserve the best. Once you reach the top, you'll never question why you left. Oh, my world is yours. What you waiting for? Let's run away, let's run away. Our friends say we're crazy, but we can't listen, baby. They never had it like this. They don't know what it is.
You're blessed, like you got the key to my heart. Simple as a touch and a kiss. Never knew a feeling like this. Nobody can tear us apart. Baby, it's as good as it gets. Loving you will never be hard. This is your
Welcome back. That was Emile LaRue with For Real. Definitely a throwback. So looks like Mr. James Talley recommended that one. So thank you, James, for that recommendation. We love good songs to be played right here on Face of Success Radio. So if you got a song you would like me to play, of course, holler at me. I'd love to play it for you. You know, hit me up, of course, on Facebook, Miss Diamond Hot Topics. And today I have Mr. Larry Cunningham. You won't want to miss that one, okay? So we're going to talk about the two things to look for on a first date, okay? So first of all, you wanted to say you were having issues with why am I failing at love and, you know, how come I can't find love? Well, now we're going to talk about dating. You know, you actually have to go out on a date in order to get to that long haul word that we all love, relationship, okay? So I'm going to give you a few things on what to do on the first date, okay? So understand that the excitement and the anticipation of a first date can be nerve-wracking. It's hard to know what to look for on the first date. However, the foundation of any great relationship has only two key ingredients. Do you want to know what they are? Well, I'm sure you do because you're tuned in right here on Interviews with the Stars. Guess what? Me too. Actually, I know what they are, and I'm about to tell you. But first, consider this. When you meet someone anywhere in any walk of life, you are already on the first date. I mean, actually, when done right, the first date is more of a continuation than a beginning. With that in mind, when you meet someone by chance, take your time. If you take your time, you will begin to notice if you have chemistry, or even more importantly, you will see if you have the first key ingredient. The first key ingredient, a relationship is a conversation that doesn't end. I'm sorry, this is just my opinion, okay? And I'm just really trying to give you guys some great tips, okay? But people who have a natural chemistry can talk for hours. I mean, you'll notice a couple things. One, you'll have each other's full attention. For two, your body movements will begin to sync up. And three, it just feels good. I mean, which naturally feels and leads to a first date and also to the second one and maybe to a third date as well. But there are two ingredients on what to look for on a first date. The second key ingredient is a relationship is just a series of kept agreements. The reason the first date is important is the agreement may lead up to something else, okay? Does he call when he says he's going to call? Does he have a plan? Does he show up on time? I mean, these are things to look for on a first date, really. Is that young lady about her business? If she says she's going to work, is she really at work? Meaning, is she always asking you for money every week as if she's not working? I mean, just stuff sync up. Those things to look for early on in the game. Do they have anger issues? You know, if you guys go out on a first date and he gets angry with the waiter, he didn't bring my food, he's going off on the first date. Understand that that person may have an anger issue, and they might go off on you one day. I'm just saying. When on a first date, what you should do is, it should be more about being comfortable and making sure that that other person is comfortable as well around you. You don't have to always expose everything that you have going on in your life. You don't have to tell them, oh, I got 5 degrees, I have 6 kids, 4 baby mamas, or you know, 4 ex-wives. You don't have to expose all of those things on the first date, but it's really important to make that person feel comfortable. I mean, while on the first date, just relax. Enjoy the moment. Live in the moment. You're at a movie, talk about that movie. Talk about similar interests. And then all the other hardcore details about you or about your life can come later, okay? And, of course, after your first date, you want to always thank them to the effect of, you know, I appreciate your day, or, you know, I had a nice time. that'll also give that person a clue as to if they're going to have a second date with you. You know, laugh a little. Show them that you're interested. And if you're not interested, just say, you know what, I had a great time today, but, you know, I don't think that there's going to be a second date. It's called being honest, okay? But think about it. Dating leads up to relationships. So you have to date the right way. You have to be honest. You have to be focused. And then you can get to that relationship. But you can't skip dating when you want to be in a relationship, okay? Well, that and more coming up next hour. I have Mr. Larry Cunningham of the Floaters in the building. Oh, my God. We're going to talk to him in just a minute. Give us about 30 minutes. And I'm going to play some more good music for you. And right here I have Mr. Charlie Wilson. I Can Do Magic right here on Interviews with the Stars.
And welcome to the Charlie Show. Tonight I'm going to be showing you things that you've never seen before. So just sit back and relax, because tonight I'm going to be doing some things that no man has ever done to you.
Abracadabra, form of a bedroom. Now add a little candlelight and the scent of your sweet perfume, girl. Hocus pocus, now you in that cute little dress that I like. Now don't lose focus on what I'm about to show you tonight. I can do magic, whoa. One snap of your finger, girl, I perform a trick on you. Oh, anything you want me to do, yeah.
I can do magic,
girl. All you gotta do is dim the lights.
Show you my trick or two.
Oh, babe.
Because I can do magic, I can do magic.
Now I ain't no psychic, but I can see what you need, girl. And you don't have to write it, cause looking at your body I can read, girl. You're giving me the eye, and it's making me want you back, girl. Turn around, now can you guess what's in my hands? Yeah. Oh, one snap of your finger, girl,
I perform a trick on you.
Girl, cause I can do,
magic.
All you gotta do is dim the light. Oh,
I can do
magic.
I can do
magic, girl.
I'll make our things disappear. Next thing you know, it's you and me.
I love you, babe.
Girl, no illusions, please be.
Bear witness
to what I'm about to do.
Turn the lights off and
call your wishes come true.
Wave my hand.
Break my heart, that calls your clothes.
Girl, that's something I want you to know.
Do it,
say the word,
I'll show you my trick,
and I'll show you
That was Mary J. Blige with I'm in Love. So welcome back to the show. Hope you guys are enjoying the show today. I appreciate all the love and support that you give me each and every week right here. So make sure that you share my post. You tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that Ms. Diamond is on every Thursday right here on Interviews with the Stars, where I bring you the hottest and the most exclusive interviews with Larry Cunningham of the Floaters coming up real soon right here in the studio. I'm going to have him. We're going to sit down and we're going to chat about a lot of things. He's going to take us back, and we can't wait for that. In the meantime, in between time, we've been talking about dating, how to get to a relationship, how to look for things on your first two dates. And then now, after that, the next topic is making love and not war. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, is constant fighting healthy? I'm here to tell you it's not. It is what it is. No one wants to fight with anyone. No one wants to argue with anyone, so it's just not healthy. You know, based on our own personal experiences, we can all admit that no couple gets along 100% of the time. I mean, in fact, it's completely normal to have a difference of opinion and for people to, you know, make conflict out of that because you two have different of opinions. However, how much fighting is too much fighting? Is there a way to tell whether arguments are covering up a bigger issue that could be on the table? Is there a way when two people are so passionate about a relationship and each other, it makes sense that they are willing to duke it out, not physically, but I'm just saying verbally, they're willing to duke it out in order to get their point across? Well, the problem lies in not knowing how to differentiate between a lover's spat and a full-out war. Goodness, I'm sure you've been there. Well, in every relationship, you need to understand how to overcome the difficulties that arise because of it. While personalities clash all of the time, it's important to find a way to effectively speak without blowing up on each other. Really, I'm here to stress to you that the fact of the moment is that when you stop confiding in your partner and you begin avoiding fights altogether, your reservations will end up making things much worse. For starters, avoidance has many destructive consequences in relationships, such as feeling disconnected from your partner physically and emotionally. I mean, my friend George, he made a really good point. So shout out to George. He said, when people are fighting, they still have hope. They think that it can change. Hey, I guess. I think that it's when couples aren't fighting anymore that they're both sitting it out, and it's a lot of distance in relationships. That's when you really have something to worry about. I mean, regardless of how often you're fighting or what you're fighting about, all relationships can use some work. No relationship is perfect. I mean, it's all about finding that person you want to go the distance with and may be willing to debate some things with you. Now, if let's just say that the argument is about ladies, he then put the toilet seat down. You went in the restroom, you fell in the toilet, and you're screaming and hollering at him and, oh, I can't believe you did that. Well, understand that he may not understand that you're mad because he didn't send you a good morning text or he hasn't sent you flowers in 6 months. Those type of things need to be communicated. You should never, never, never in a relationship argue with someone over one specific point when in reality you're really angry about other things. On repairing your relationship if you are fighting a lot so that you can save precious bonding time with your partner. I mean, if your relationship is on the rocks or you just want to learn best methods for resolving relationship conflict, nothing is wrong with seeing a counselor or talking to a pastor about it, you know, or even talking to people who have been in relationships for a long time. Shout out to a couple that I know have been married 52 years. I think that that is wonderful. And love is something that is hard to find. And I'm sure when talking to them, they will tell you that no relationship is perfect, but some relationships are worth fighting for, and some are worth just throwing in the towel. It is what it is. But understand, when you do throw in the towel, you don't have to look bad. You don't have to be subject to that person's mess, and you don't have to be bothered about that anymore. So I say you keep it moving forward. If you're fighting and you're arguing, then guess what? The best thing for you two to do is to go in two separate directions. Nothing is wrong with that, and do not feel guilty if that's the decision that you two have both made, okay? Well, this stuff and more I have coming for you. Also, I have Mr. Larry Cunningham in the studio, so we're going to chat it up with him real soon. So I'm going to play a couple songs for you, and get ready. Sit back, relax.
Satisfaction, ooh, I am guaranteed.
Oh, yes,
she in your reaction, girl, that matters to me. Whatever you want me to do, girl, I'll do. Let me give you love while we make the sounds that lovers do. Your body's so perfect to me. I'm gonna take you there, nice and slow, while we make the sound of hello.
With me, make love.
Well, welcome back. That was Mr. Michael Jackson. May he rest in peace with Lady of My Life. Oh, my God, such a classic, such a classic. Well, if you are just now tuning in, you have tuned in to Interviews with the Stars. And, of course, I am your host, Ms. Diamond. And I want to say welcome, welcome to today's special guest. Today's special guest is Mr. Larry Cunningham of the Floaters. Oh, my goodness. So we want to welcome Mr. Larry Cunningham to the studio.
Hi, Diamond. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh, yes, yes. No problem. Thank you for doing the show today as well. I appreciate you.
Well, you know, we have to do for each other, sister girl. We got to do for each other.
That's right. That's right. One hand always helps the other. I appreciate that one.
All right. All right.
Yes, sir. So you've been with the Floaters. You know, tell your listeners how long and how many years you've been with the Floaters.
Yeah, that's, you want me to tell my age, huh? Okay.
Well, how many? You just only the years in the group, then.
Well, no. I coming from Detroit back in the 60s, early 70s. On every street corner was a group or two or three. And I listened to all the older guys, and I would stand on the corners, and I would try to sing. Before my voice changed, I was singing second tenor, first tenor. And the guys, the older guys would slap me in the back of the head till I hit the note right. And then I'd move to the next corner, and I learned something. I've always been a dancer. I started doing choreography for groups in Detroit. Some of the groups that became famous were the Fantastic Four, the Detroit Emeralds. I worked with Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. And while I was doing this choreography, so to speak, a couple of guys, in fact, James Mitchell from the Detroit Emeralds, mentioned that I should put my own group together. Because while I was doing the choreography, if somebody was late or if they didn't show up at all, I would sing their part, whether it was with the Detroit Emeralds or the Fantastic Four. And I had a couple, three people told me, you need to put your own group together. So, of course, I tried to get together with some friends my age, people that I went to school with. But that didn't work out. In other words,
okay.
It was the 60s. It was the crazy 60s, early 70s, and everybody my age wanted to be a player, some of the other things I don't want to mention to you, Diamond. But
okay.
At any rate, they lost interest in rehearsing every day, 3, 4, 5 hours a day. Some of my cohorts, the Dramatics, Enchantment, Al Hutson one way, I went to school with one or two from each one of those groups. And they were rehearsing, two, three times a day, 4 or 5 hours. But, you really had to be a special person to want to do that, that you would, give up that kind of time. So what happened was I had a younger brother, and he wanted to do it. And he put together four guys, and I had chosen the name Floaters. And I thought whatever I did would resemble that name, such as, the harmony would flow, the clothes would look like we're floating in them, the choreography would be in a floating type manner. And I named the young guys the Junior Floaters. And after I would rehearse, I would go home and I would work with these four young guys. And I lost my brother to the world. He decided he didn't want to sing no more. So by that time, Paul, Charles, and Ralph were tall enough so that I didn't look funny with them. They was 4 or 5 years younger than me. So the junior floaters became the Floaters. Paul's mother owned a bar in Detroit. His mother and older brother, and it was called the Emerald Lounge. And we were performing there on a regular basis, and a guy named Otis Smith came in. He came to Detroit to sign up the Four Tops, who had left Motown, and also Billy McCoo and Billy Davis. Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis were recording in Detroit, so he came to give them a record deal. And while he was in Detroit, a famous disc jockey in Detroit, Al Perkins, told him, you need to go and see these young guys called the Floaters. And he came to the little club, and 2 weeks later we had a recording deal. So it was like one of those Cinderella stories, Diamond. So the rest, as they say, is history. Yeah. I make a long story long, don't I?
No, that's okay, because you know what? Your listeners can definitely relate to that. I just want to tell you, you have a lot of Detroit listeners today.
Oh, great. Great.
Yes. So when you talk about Emerald Lounge, you talk about, Sojourner Truth Project, where you grew up.
That's right.
A lot of people can relate to that.
Raised on the east side of Detroit. Ralph lived in the Sojourner Truth Projects in what we call Coney Gardens there in Detroit on Nevada. You're absolutely right. But I was raised in something called the Hamtramck Projects, which is a European community right in the middle of Detroit. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but I was raised with Polish people, Ukrainian, German. It was a bit of Europe right in the middle of Detroit. And my family was one of the only African-American families in the city. So it was kind of diverse for me. It prepped me for later stages in life. But then we moved to Detroit, or across the street anyway, out of Hamtramck. We moved to Detroit when I was 17, which is when I started doing choreography for a lot of the groups in Detroit.
Amazing, amazing. I know a lot about Hamtramck.
Coochie
Day and everything that goes along with that, of course.
Okay, great. Diamond, I am so happy that you're keeping this music alive and you're keeping the stories of people like myself and people from my genre, my era. You're keeping us out there in the public. I'd want to say for everybody in the music industry, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, I do what I can. I don't look at it as, you know, a job. I look at it as an opportunity to give back to those who really have paved the way for music.
Well, I appreciate that. To be mentioned in the same breath with some of the people I mentioned earlier, it's, you know, it's a blessing for me. As I mentioned to you earlier, I grew up with the Pershing High School with Squirrel Dimps from the Dramatics, Ronnie Banks, Lenny Mays, who joined the group later. Also went to school with David Banks from Enchantment, EJ, Emmanuel Johnson, the lead singer for Enchantment, Al Hudson and the Soul Partners was our backing band before we got with Chapter 8. And as you probably know, Anita Baker was the lady singer with Chapter 8. So that was our backing band for about 4 or 5 years until we got them a record deal with the same gentleman that gave us a record deal. At that time, he had moved over to Arista Records, and he gave Chapter 8 a record deal. Later on, Otis Smith started his own label, Beverly Glenn, and he decided to record on Anita Baker. He also recorded Patti LaBelle and Bobby Womack, as you probably know. He brought both of those artists out of mothballs and put them back out there. So, you know, we've been in great company our whole career.
Yes, yes, you have. You definitely have. But, you know, when working with people like, you know, and having these type of opportunities, what would you say to someone who is trying to, let's just say, form a group now or is trying to break into the industry today with the way that the industry has changed?
Yes. I get asked that question a lot. There's no formula. You know, the music industry has changed, certainly. The music has changed. Radio has changed. The record companies have changed drastically. But my advice would be to persevere. My advice would be to follow your dream. I can remember losing talent shows, and we would get advice, and, you know, you don't want to hear it when you're crying about coming in third place or coming in fifth place. But somebody would always say, okay, don't give up. This is only one show. You know, keep going, which is exactly what we did. So the best advice I can give is to keep, you know, follow your dream. Realize, you know, where you are potentially. If your voice is not as good as the people that are out there, so to speak, or have current records or are performing current, then, you know, get you some lessons. My lessons were learned on the street, as I mentioned to you earlier. I learned from a lot of guys that never got a record deal, never been into a recording studio, but they could sing their socks off. They could sing to where the people on the block would sit in their windows and listen to some of the guys that I learned from. And then later on, you know, I took it seriously to the point where I joined the Glee Club. I started paying more attention in the church choir that I was singing in, and I learned, you know, from a technical standpoint, you learn the flats and the majors and the minors, and you learn chords and you learn notes and you learn how to hold your harmony note. And then from working with the professional people in the industry, you learn how to work an audience. You learn how to control what they're experiencing. In other words, you learn how to put on a show. The floaters rehearse for the audience that we're working. We don't put our repertoire, or we don't put our lineup of songs to please ourselves. I see a lot of people doing that. A lot of young people do that. A lot of novices to the business do that. You really need to sit in audiences. You need to go see shows, and you pay attention to what gets the audience up on their feet, what makes them cry, what makes them dance, what makes them sing. And then you take that back to the woodshed, and you practice that into your craft. And that's exactly what we did. We were fortunate to be in Detroit at the time that we were. The whole city was abuzz with music, jazz, Latin jazz, easy listening jazz, and of course Motown. And we were fortunate enough to get with MCA Records, who had on their roster B.B. King, Rufus and Chaka Khan, the Dramatics, Bobby Bland, and we were able to, you know, intermingle with these people, and our music was wide ranged. I can only say that because Float On was such a big record that a lot of people don't realize that we had three subsequent albums that did very, very well. Both the last two albums were played very well on jazz stations and easy listening stations. They didn't do as well as the Float On album, but they did very well. We went through transition periods. ABC, after our first album, they sold out to MCA. And our second album didn't get what we thought was proper promotion. And then our third album, the record company MCA was sold out to Universal, MCA Universal. So we was in transition again, and we don't think that and the record company admits it. They didn't properly promote the floaters. So we're stuck with being called one-hit wonders. But, you know, it's okay. Better one hit than none hits, you know?
Oh, well, I definitely disagree with that. You have quite a few hits, okay? Maybe Float On was one of the songs that was, you know, more popular than others, but a one-hit wonder, I wouldn't minimize your wonderful career to that.
Thank you. Well, you know, we're still working concerts. We work all over the country. We're involved with something called the Love Jam Tour. We're on the 70s Soul Jam Tour. We go back and forth to different – we're on the Valentine's Tour with some people out of California. So we're still working pretty good, or performing pretty good. So we love what we do. We've been able to, you know, send our kids and – now we got grandkids in school and college and things like that. So we've been blessed, Carmen. We've been blessed.
You have, and congratulations to you, you know, for raising successful children. I mean, many times you hear of people in the industry and their kids are all over the news, you know, doing all types of things.
Right. Well, see, so you know, the truth about it is, myself, the Cunninghams, there was eight. I had eight siblings. Ralph had six siblings. Paul had nine siblings. And Charles had eight siblings. So we all came from big families, big loving families. We lived in the same neighborhood where, you know, the lady down the street would spank you if you did something in the street and then send you home to get spanked again. We come from that era. And we cared about brothers and sisters. We were all responsible for our brothers and sisters. And so that segues into taking care of your own children, which we have done. You know, everybody has sent their kids to school, basically college educations. And I'm proud of each and every one of the floaters in doing so. Family means a lot to me. So I'm fortunate and blessed enough to have gentlemen in my life that feel the same way about raising our kids right.
Yes, yes. So shout out to all the good who are actually involved
Amen.
In their kids' lives.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
So important.
It
so
is. It
growing
is.
Up in the Motown and growing up in that era where, you know, some of the greatest have done it, who
yes.
were some of your greatest influences?
You know, that's it's hard to say because we come from Detroit. But I can say that while I was growing up and emulating the Temptations, the Four Tops, a group called the Peps in Detroit, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, the Supremes,
oh,
America,
yes.
Some of my heroes were other people from Detroit, Jackie Wilson, Wilson Pickett, people like that that had the rough, gruff voice because my voice was rough and gruff. A lot of times mm-hmm. I couldn't make the Glee Club because I tried to sing like David Ruffin.
Oh, oh wow, understandable.
But my choir, I was fortunate enough to be going to a small church where a minister of music could pay attention to what I was doing and would pull me to the side and give me tips. You know, I got favor in the church, so blessed again. Blessed and blessed and blessed. So,
nothing.
I'm sorry, Diamond.
No,
I didn't
no,
even
go ahead.
Step on the conversation. I was just going to say I lost my mother to cancer, and I don't want to bring you know, the listening audience down, but Ralph lost his mother to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So we recorded a gospel album. Ralph goes to a church that's presided over by Pastor Marvin Winans. And I go to a church here in Arizona, and I had always promised my mother, who asked me, baby, you got to, you know, use your gift to praise the Lord. So I recorded a gospel album just here recently, a year or so ago. And it's Larry Cunningham and the Essence of Grace. And I named it the Essence of Grace because the church I go to is called Grace Temple. And we use my pastor, the spoken word, members of the choir to sing background, the pastor's son and music minister to help me do the music for the CD. And which gave the name Essence of Grace. It's a double entendre, if you will. I've been blessed in my life, and grace has followed me my whole life. So I wanted to give something back. I also wanted to do a tribute to my mother, as I mentioned to you, who was the singer in the family. She took me to church every Sunday, Bible study on Wednesday. And we went to choir rehearsal on Thursday, and those were the early drugs, you know, got drugged to church. It's
oh,
in
yeah.
my blood, I guess, Diamond. Got drugged to church, as the Williams brothers say.
And nothing is wrong with that, being raised in the church. I mean, who can really argue with that? I mean, look, you know, look where you have come from and look where
yeah,
you're going.
Yeah.
You
well,
know, it's
you.
All about
thank
giving
you.
Back.
Yes, 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 yes. I agree with you totally. Myself and Ralph, we have something called Artist Development. It's based in Detroit. And young groups that want our advice or want to ride our coattails, so to speak, we give advice. We teach stage mannerisms. We teach choreography. We work with them on their harmonies. We work with them on their lead voices and lead attitude. In other words, when you step up to sing lead, you know, it's a whole different world. You should have your audience in your hands, or at least try to get them in your hands so they're listening to the lyrics, they're watching your facial expressions. So giving back is something that's deeply embedded in the Floaters, Diamond, such as the things that you're doing, giving back. That's how we do it.
Yes, yes. And being from Detroit myself, I want to say thank you for always giving back to the community where you came from, because people don't often do that. They often forget where they came from. And, you know, yeah. Detroit is always going to be known for their music and for Motown and, you know,
that's
the cars
right.
and the different
cars,
factories,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, those kind of things really raised us.
I know. My city has been getting a bad rap lately. You know, it's after we went through so many things in the 80s and 90s, but most cities near water did, if you think about it. The Cincinnati's, the Dayton's, the Cleveland's, the Chicago's. But those cities are coming back now. The people that, you know, left the city are coming back downtown in most of those cities. And Detroit is the same. Detroit is growing in leaps and bounds at this time. You know, the powers that be, in other words, the mayor and the city council, I really think at this time that their hearts are in rebuilding the city of Detroit. There's a lot of great things going on there. A lot of great things are going on in some of our other sister cities, such as Chicago and Cleveland, Dayton, Cincinnati. Cities that, you know, the Floaters frequent. Even before we had records, we used to be in all of those cities quite a bit. So, you know, to watch them have their demise, so to speak, and to see them all come back is a blessing that, you know, I've been around long enough to see something like that happens because, as you mentioned earlier, I love my Detroit. I love Detroit.
Yes, yes.
I love city of Detroit.
How could you not love a place like that where you came from, where it was so rich in with talent?
Yes, yes, very much so. As I mentioned to you earlier, I went to school with at least three other platinum artists, you know, four other platinum artists. When you think about Anita Baker, Al Hudson One Way, the Dramatics, Enchantment, a group called CC and Company, so many acts out of Detroit, so many groups, so many solo artists. It was a rich culture. Growing up in Detroit, you know, I wouldn't trade it. If people ask me, if you was to do it all over again, what would you do? I'd go do the same thing I've done. So even with all the ups and the downs, I still would go. I would come out of Detroit again if I had the choice to do it again.
That's amazing. That means to me that you haven't forgotten where you came from.
Oh no, not at all. And I'm glad to hear that you're from Detroit. I didn't realize that.
Yes, I'm from the East Side as well.
Is that right? Okay. So you know what I'm talking about.
Of
flavor
course,
in
I
Detroit.
Do.
It's like no other.
Yes, it is. It definitely.
Yes.
You can go anywhere in the world. You know, you can be in Boise, Idaho, and tell someone, I'm from Detroit. And they give you a different type of love.
I agree. That's exactly right. I come from what they call the rough part of Detroit. After we moved out of Hamtramck, I lived on East Davison Avenue. You probably remember that as one of those areas where the slick hair and the girls and all the players were. But I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I wouldn't trade nothing. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I'm so glad that, you know, I was able to experience the world right there in that area, Davidson Avenue, 7 Mile, 8 Mile. those were areas that taught me quite a bit. I still use some of the ideologies. I still use some of the things that were learned today, and that's been quite a while back, you know. So
that is wonderful. I mean, you're not talking about anything that I can't relate to. I definitely grew up on the east side of Detroit in that same area, Mound Road, Out of Drive area,
yeah,
instead of Mound,
yeah,
Mound
yeah.
Road area. So
okay,
I know
okay.
all about it. And I've actually been back to Detroit to give back in the community at the Sojourner Truth Project as well. So
okay.
So definitely, I definitely understand that. So when touring, you and the Floaters have been some amazing places. So what are some of your favorite spots you've been in on tour?
It's hard to say my favorite. I can remember working Carnegie Hall with Brothers Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And the special guest that came to see us was Richard Pryor, Diana Ross, Michael Jackson, Quincy Jones. They were all in New York filming something called The Wiz. And we were hired to do one show at Carnegie Hall, and that show sold out in about 30 minutes, my understanding. They added a second show. Mm-hmm. It sold out within an hour. They added a third show. And then finally they added a fourth show. And we were fortunate enough to have on stage with ourselves Richard Pryor, Diana Ross, Michael Jackson, the Brothers Johnson, and Quincy Jones. That was one of the highlights of my life. We also worked the Apollo with the Manhattans. We went out on something called the Shake It Well Tour with the Dramatics. We also went on tour with Marvin Gaye. And Marvin Gaye, we started in Myrtle Beach, and we worked all the way across the country. And every night that we didn't work, Marvin Gaye would rent a gym, either a YMCA or a high school gymnasium, and we played basketball the whole tour. We had people like LTD with Jeffrey Osborne, Lenny Williams. We also had five young men out of Birmingham, Alabama, called the Controllers. And this tour was off the hook. We worked with Marvin Gaye. We learned so much from this man in a matter of weeks, you know. We worked with him on three tours. We also worked with a group called the Commodores and the Emotions when the Commodores had the song Brick House out. Float On was number one at that time, and the Emotions were number two, the Commodores had number three. So those records were jockeying back and forth, number one, number two, number three. So we went out on tour with them, and it was one of the biggest black tours of that time. We worked the Superdome in New Orleans. We worked the Astrodome. We also worked the major venues all over the country. It's hard to say what city was my favorite spot. We also traveled around the world with the Ohio Players. We started in Honolulu. Actually, we started in San Francisco. We worked over to Hawaii. We went to Guam, Korea. We left Korea and flew all the way halfway around the world. Ended up in Europe and worked across Europe with the Ohio Players. We also was on the original P-Funk tour with George Clinton, Parliament, Funkadelic, and we worked all the way across the country. And we were simultaneously working with Marvin Gaye. As you probably know, Marvin Gaye was very popular with the white audience, so we would work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday with Marvin Gaye, and then Friday, Saturday, we would work with the Funkadelic Parliament. It was really crazy, you know, but it would be impossible for me to tell you my favorite city or my favorite place.
Mm-hmm.
Been around the world three or four occasions, and I can usually make myself at home just about anywhere in the world. Diamond, I always get back to Detroit, though.
Yes.
I love my Detroit.
Home is where the heart is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But it would be impossible for me to tell you my favorite place. As I mentioned to you earlier, my favorite doings was the tour with Marvin Gaye, the dates with Brothers Johnson in New York. I've celebrated my birthday 3 times at the Apollo in New York. My birthday is June 23rd, and if you follow the calendars, Father's Day is fell on June 23rd at least 3 times in the last 25, 30 years or so. So I've been able to celebrate my birthday at the Apollo 3 times in my life. Some of the greatest times I've ever had, working with Lotz and Luther Vandross, the Manhattans, the Isley Brothers, Tina Turner, Gladys Knight, the Pips, the Temptations, all of those people at the Apollo. So as you can tell, my life has truly been blessed. I'm doing what I like, doing what I love, actually, and I'm still doing it.
Yes, I tell my listeners that all the time. Definitely chase your goals, chase your dreams, and don't stop for anyone, you know, because those are your dreams and your goals.
Don't let nothing get in the way. No, don't let nothing get in the way. I mean, sometimes you have to go to plan B, of course. You know, you might not have a hit record. You might not have a gold record. You might not have a platinum record. But, you know, you love what you do, and you do it. You know, sometimes you have to work small clubs. But I get just as much satisfaction in a small venue, 250, 300 people, as I do in some of the major venues, like the Arco Arena there in Sacramento. I think the capacity is 34,000 people. I get just as much joy in working the Fox Theater in Detroit, the Regal Theater in Chicago, as much as I would the Cobo Hall in Detroit or the Superdome. I could sing at a birthday party and get just as much joy. I love what I do. And I try to make people love what I'm doing as I'm doing it. You know, I try to get people involved in the songs that I sing, in the lyrics, in the stories that I portray. I try to get people involved in it. So, which is another message to young people. You got to believe in what you do. I mean, people can tell eventually. If you're faking it, they'll know eventually. But you can fake it till you make it. I've heard that a lot. So, you know, just prevail, persevere, hang in there, you know, go for it. They say, you know, if you shoot for the moon, and if you miss, you're going to land among the stars, so you go for it, you know?
That's yes, the best yes, advice. I mean, I love it.
Go for it. Right, go for it.
You are giving them real knowledge on today about how to chase your goals and dreams and what you're exactly supposed to do. I think that is very important.
That's exactly what I did. Okay. And people like yourself keep these stories and keep the artists alive. I think you're doing a great justice to the industry, to our community, actually, you know, by keeping people like my old self out there, you know, keeping us in front of the audiences. It's great. It's great what you're doing, Diamond. Don't you stop.
Oh, I won't stop. I actually was on set yesterday in a film in San Francisco, just as an extra. But you know what? Small opportunities like that always lead to something major. So I'm always open to doing.
Well, that's
always
great.
I'm
gonna put you in my next movie. How's that? I'm gonna do a movie just to put you in.
I appreciate that, and I received that one.
I'm gonna do a movie just to put you in it, Diamond.
I appreciate that. I love it. I love it. So, when speaking to some of your fans, I have had have you heard of the floaters? And the first thing right. I get is like a side eye, like, are you serious? Like, of course I've heard of floaters.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
some of your songs have been so amazing to so many different people. You know, and of course everybody always sings Float, Float On. And then I say, well, tell me what you can tell me about some of the singers. And the first thing that I got from maybe 5 or 10 people out of 20 was Larry is the Leo.
Larry, yeah.
Larry,
I
think he's the
you
Leo.
Know, Paul is the Leo. Larry is the Cancer. But I get teased about that all the time. Even people like Tom Joyner comes on the radio every now and then. You'll hear him say, I hope Larry done changed his rap.
Yes. Yes. So that's a bit of trivia. A bit of trivia.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Steve Harvey and Cedric the Entertainer. Yeah, they use that a lot. Larry, and my name is Cancer. You know, they said I get
yes,
that a
yes.
lot. Cedric the Entertainer is a friend of mine, and he uses it in his stand-up show. Every time I go see Cedric, I end up falling out laughing at myself. He can make me seem funny, you know. So, I've been blessed. I've been blessed, Diamond. A lot of people recognize the floaters from that term, Larry. Cancer, and my name is Larry. You know, so I've been blessed.
Yeah,
I've been truly blessed.
That's
yes.
a bit of trivia. I always tell them no. Larry is not the Leo. He's the Cancer.
No,
like,
Larry's
oh
the
my
Cancer.
God. Then they go on to do the dances. They go on to try to do the routine. You know,
yeah,
they grab
yeah,
whatever
yeah.
comes to them, a hairbrush or a water bottle or a pencil.
Yeah.
To try to emulate
great.
The moves.
That's great. That's great. That's great.
So we have
like
to give
said,
your fans.
I feel blessed. Yeah. I feel blessed, Diamond. I've been very fortunate, Diamond.
Yeah, so we're going to give your fans a bit of a treat today, and I'm going to play Let's Try to Love one more time.
All right.
So we're going to play that for them.
That'll be
good. And then when we come back,
we're
going to talk about that
one. Okay, that'll be fine. Go right ahead.
You know, everyone's entitled to one mistake in life. And I made the biggest mistake of my life when I left you. You see, I found out that the grass ain't so much greener on the other side. And if you would just take a little of your time and listen. I swear it'd be you and me, baby.
Charm, sing that sweat. and wise to walk out of your life. Sharing love in every way,
the mistakes that we made yesterday.
Time is open up my eyes. Oh baby, I
apologize. Well, hey girl, I apologize.
Well, that was Let's Try Love One More Time right here on Faces of Success Radio, Interviews with the Stars. I have in the studio Mr. Larry Cunningham of the Floaters. Welcome back.
Yes, I'm so happy you played that song. That's reminiscent of the Floaters. As you could tell, it was a four-man lead. Everybody sang lead. That song was written by Paul's, the Leo of the group. That was written by Paul's older brother, James, who started the Detroit Emeralds. As you probably can remember, you want it, you got it, things like that. They're very popular in the early 70s. So we were fortunate to rub elbows with them. So James Mitchell took us in the studio and recorded that song. He wrote that for his wife. So we was able to express his feelings in a recording session. I really like that song. Thank you.
Yes, yes. It was actually requested by one of our listeners, one of your Detroit fans. Her name is Valerie McGee. So shout out to Ms. Valerie McGee for tuning in to the show and requesting that song.
Thank you, Valerie. Thank you, Valerie. I love you.
Yeah.
That's great. That
and I'm
great.
Sure she loves you back.
All right, all right. Well, yeah, so anytime, you know, when you there's a bond between people that come from Detroit, you know. They call it the hood, but I call it the good, sweetheart. Detroit is the good, you know.
Yeah, so tell us about your hit, Float On, and how it came about with the astrological sign. Like,
well,
whose idea
yeah.
was that, and how did that come about?
You know, we was in the time then, that time when you had the flower children, you know, moving to San Francisco was the thing. doing things that were reminiscent of the zodiac signs and yoga. People were getting into themselves. I don't know if it was what they were smoking at the time or what, but people were getting into themselves. As I mentioned to you, doing you know, the jujitsu and the karate and the self disciplines such as the yoga and your astrology signs was very popular. So actually, when we got our record deal, we didn't have enough material to finish the album. At that time, they were albums. We didn't have enough material. But while we were in the studio, our bass player, Guy Hudson, he wanted to go over the way we were going to introduce ourselves that weekend. We were working at a place called the 20 Grand, which, Diamond, I'm sure you remember. That's where they spawned all the Motown people, at the 20 Grand. We were working at the 20 Grand that weekend, and when he started playing the bass line, boom, 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 the engineer, Richard Becker, who had helped build the Motown studios, by the way, he said, "What is that?" And we explained to him that was our intro. And he said, "Wait a minute, wait a minute, play that." So he turned the machine on, and they played the bass line. And what we decided to do was just go ahead and do our intro for Richard Becker. Well, we did it, but it was only 4 minutes long. We still didn't have enough material to finish the album. So Richard Becker took his razor blade and cut the tape. You know, back in those days, you recorded on tape. Mm-hmm. He spliced the tapes and taped the two ends together, which ended up with the song being 11 minutes and so many seconds long. But it happened because back in those days, that's how, or most of the players or wannabe players, that was how they introduced themselves to the girls, or vice versa, the girls to the fellas. You know, "Hey, baby, I'm a Cancer. What's your sign?" You know, and so be it. So we decided to put that in there, and they decided to do just the instrumental, and then they spliced the tape, as I mentioned to you, and then they did the vocals. It was the first record of its length to be on ABC Records, because you got penalized back in those days for anything more than 3 minutes and 44 seconds. So we was one of the first acts to have a disco single, as you said. That's how long it was. But it's been done. It's been edited. There's about three different versions of that same song. So that was a seven-minute version, 11-minute version, and then that was the 3-minute, 45-second version. So that's how
great.
It came about.
Awesome.
I hope I explained it pretty good.
You did. You did. And actually,
and
today, go ahead.
The rest of it is history. I mean, the record company didn't even know we were with them at the time. And they mailed us out with the country western stuff in March. Well, the record sat around. A young guy at New York City College had to go to the bathroom, actually. And he seen this record with this 11 minute, and he decided to drop the needle on it while he went to the bathroom. But when he came back from the bathroom, the switchboard had lit up. It was totally red. Every line was full. People wanted to know, what was this? What is this? Where they come from? Who are they? And the same thing happened in Cleveland a couple of days later. And these two disc jockeys, they called ABC Records in California and said, "We don't know what you done, but you got a hit with these guys." And ABC jumped on us, so to speak. They started mailing us out to all the African-American stations. And after we went to number one on African stations, they started playing us on the pop station. They started playing us on the easy listening stations. They started playing us on the jazz stations. We got very, very, very fortunate in the fact that people just liked it. Just listening to that bass line. It was a haunting kind of feeling. As I mentioned to you earlier, it was one of those flukes, you know. But here it is, you know, 37 years later, and that fluke was a good one, right?
Well, congratulations on being number one Billboard single, also in being in Billboard's top 100, Hot 100.
Right.
Congratulations to you on that. And I have a fan who just posted on my wall on Facebook, please play Float On. So Mary Red, here is Float On by the Floaters. Right here in studio, I have Mr. Larry Cunningham. We'll be right back right after Float On. This is for you.
Peace and love.
Aquarius. And my name is Larry. Now I like a woman who loves her freedom. And I like a woman who can hold her own. And if you fit that description, baby, come with me. Take my hand. Come with me, baby. Love me. Let me show you.
My name is Charles. Now I like a woman that's quiet. A woman who carries herself like Miss Universe.
And my name is Larry. And I like a woman that loves everything and everybody. And you know what, ladies? If you feel that this is you, then this is what I want you to do.
We are back live in the studio with Mr. Larry Cunningham. Of course, that was float brought on by the floaters. So that song definitely reached of many, many platforms. It was the Billboard 200. It peaked at number 10 as well. R&B singles peaked at number 1 in 1977, and Billboard's Hot 100 peaked at number 2 as well. So, of course, congratulations to you guys and that song, and much success to you.
Yeah, thank you. You know, we were very fortunate, as I mentioned to you earlier. That song was simultaneously number 1 in 7 countries: Australia, Japan, Germany, the UK. It was number 1 in all of those countries at the same time. We were very fortunate, darling. In the fact that we were with a major record company, you know, that's what helped. We was with a major record company. A smaller record company probably couldn't have met the demand of the listening audience at that time. So we were fortunate to be with ABC.
Yes. So give your fans or artists who are trying to break into the record industry, give them that information on how they can be a part of your artist development in Detroit and also where people can contact you.
Okay, I appreciate that, Diamond. Thank you so much. To everybody that's in the that wants to be in the music industry, everybody that's in the music industry, you can get in touch with me at LarryFloater@Yahoo. Now, that's my email address. I would like to keep it personal. We could point you in other directions, but for Cunningham Mitchell Artist Development, which is the name of myself and Ralph Mitchell's artist development company. It's Cunningham Mitchell, or Mitchell Cunningham, I'm sorry. Ralph, he wants me to make sure I get that right. Mitchell Cunningham. But I can be reached at my email address, Larry Floater, that's one word, LarryFloater@Yahoo. And anybody that wants to get in touch with me and wants to find out about our new music, our old music, Ralph's gospel album, my gospel album, that's the best way to get in touch with us. That's my personal email address, and I look forward to hearing from everybody. As I mentioned to you earlier, my gospel CD is doing very well, and I would like to introduce it to your audience, sweetheart. So anybody that wants to hear some Motown-driven gospel, then get in touch with me at LarryFloater@Yahoo.com.
Definitely. So we want to thank Mr. Larry Cunningham for coming to the studio today and being a wonderful, wonderful guest. I mean, just full of energy and passion about the industry. So I want to thank you on behalf of the Faith of Success Radio and all of your fans out there from the East Coast to the West Coast, Midwest, and your hometown, Detroit. They all say thank you, and they all say they love you.
Thank you so much, and I'll leave you with a word of advice that I learned from Marvin Gaye. Whatever you do for the rest of your life, please don't do it so fast, because the slower you do it, the longer it's going to last.
Oh, we love it. We love it. Always dropping knowledge, and we definitely appreciate that. So we want to thank you for being a part of the show today. And there you
thank
have
you.
It, Interviews with the Stars, today's special guest, Mr. Larry Cunningham.
Thank you, Diamond.
Thanks for your love. For your appreciation. For the respect you give. Understanding love, let's enjoy.
Need
do what you want to do. And I have. And it's because of you. You're right. Enjoy having someone you have to give. That's why everything I have is yours. There's only one way I can explain how I really feel. Just not enough room to express.